got the power. Live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
Yeah, yeah. TGIF, buddy. Yeah. How you doing?
Sun's out.
Yeah, sun's out. It is. I seen it.
It was summer not too long ago, and then winter, and then now it's
seasonal.
Yeah.
Knocked it out, yeah. So we got power, which is cool. Word on the street is there wasn't some.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad we have it. How was your week? Good week?
So far, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's Friday, so, you know, at this point, the weekend.
I still got three days of working, so.
Me too. Know, I'm going to pretend that for a half an hour that we're not doing that.
Okay.
Sports.
Sports ball.
We're going to start quick. We're going to start fast because there's so much stuff. There really, really is. This is one of those, if we did an hour, I could totally stretch this one, no problem. The NBA playoffs, right. Brewers have seasons looking good. We got NCAA stuff, and it's the NFL draft. Like, that's your Super Bowl. The NFL draft really is your Super Bowl. It's your March Madness. I know. The NFL draft is the thing that we started talking about sports many, many moons ago, and it's really what got us into thinking about doing a show.
Sure.
Was talking about, you know, who's going to be drafted and why the Vikings aren't going to draft the right guy, and why this, that, and the other is going to happen. So we'll get there. I promise you we will. So you ruminate a little bit about that.
Okay.
We're going to start with the playoffs. NBA playoffs, man. The Bucks season is they're the number three seed. They managed to lose a couple games down the stretch.
Surprising, the shockers, the Knicks at number two.
The Knicks at number two, yeah, they're better. But, you know, they're missing some players just like the Bucks are. We're gonna do a fairly quick preview of the Bucks because we've been pretty much talking about an underperforming team that doesn't play defense and is hurt. We've been talking about that team all year, and that's still the team that they're going to be in the playoffs. They're probably going to struggle. Giannis is out. That's a problem, right? Like, not having one of the best couple of players in the league on your roster, maybe. And they're going against a Pacers team that the Pacers beat them four games out of five this year, I believe. I believe that was the... They are, you know, Dame Lillard is playoff Dame Lillard. He's a guy that can go for 40 in four games and carry a team. But the Pacers have one of those guys. Tyrese Haliburton, their point guard, is the best passing guard in the league, led the league in assists, was one of the best scorers. He's fantastic, and he's playing. So I can tell you it's seven, you know, we could be talking about this next week with the Bucks winning a couple games, but I'm just going to tell you right now, it doesn't feel real good, which.
Well, and honestly, in the big scheme of things, it's going to probably end up being Denver and Boston in the final anyway.
Because
I don't think anybody's going to get out of the East.
No, I could see no other teams beating Boston. There's no other team in the East that's even close to Boston. There's a few teams in the West that can beat a Denver, right? Like they haven't been dominant. Minnesota looks so good, and they're fun to watch.
They're great. I mean, they're energetic. They hustle. They're defensive.
I mean, for the playoffs, I'm going to be a Timberwolves fan.
Yeah, you will.
I will. I absolutely am. Yeah, I like what they do. I like watching their style much more than I do the Bucks.
Been a long time coming.
They've never been good. So,
well, they were for a short stint with Kevin Garnett.
They weren't great either.
No,
they were just barely good for a couple of years, and they've been around now my entire life. So, yeah, I'm going to root for the Timberwolves for a couple months, and we'll talk about – how about we commit to talking about the Timberwolves next week then, too?
Okay.
Because other than that, things in the NBA, I watched the Warriors and the Lakers lose in the play, and there, LeBron James-led Lakers, that is a – LeBron James looked fine. That team did not look good. We could be seeing the end of a LeBron James run. And the Warriors, too. I watched the Warriors, who were in my short, like, they were the most fun to watch.
Right.
Them winning four championships and looking bombing threes with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green looking like, you know, just an all-around great teammate. All of a sudden, this year, Klay Thompson is hobbled and hurt, and Draymond Green is yelling at people and getting kicked out of games.
Both those guys, I think, are...
No, they signed Draymond Green to some giant silly deal. They're going to have to trade him, but Klay Thompson could be gone.
Right.
The end of the Warriors and Lakers is just kind of, you know, if you're an NBA fan, that's an end of an era thing.
Sure.
If you're not an NBA fan... Meh. Also, the Heat, who were the Bucks' kind of nemesis the last many years, they're done, too. So that makes me happy too.
If not Bucks, done yet.
No, but their best player is out.
Right.
They have to if they lose one more game in the play-in, they're done.
Yep.
So I root for them to lose. So we're gonna go Brewers.
Sure.
They're 11-6.
Good job.
They are. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. They're great to watch. Still, they're still hitting the cover off the ball, which is, if you've been a Brewers fan for any number of years, that never happens.
Right.
They haven't been good hitting since they had like Ryan Braun and Prince Fielder, and that's been a lot of years. They are winning. They're winning. They're winning with hitting.
Good.
They
can't say
are
the same among my Twins. They're 6-11.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
So that probably not going to happen this year.
So that World Series, no. we're not gonna. We were close.
That was this close last year.
That was as close as we were going to see. Yeah, the Brewers are just hitting. Sal Frelick, Willie Adames, Bryce Terang, Willem Contreras is hitting like 370. He's the best hitting catcher in the league. I hope they all keep that going, and that would be fantastic. Yeah, the Brewers' offense has looked really, really good. The defense has been great.
Yeah.
The pitching has been meh. Above average.
Yeah.
Willie Peralta has been the guy. Okay. He's been the ace on that squad. But Colin Ray, Joe Ross, guys that I was talking about at the beginning of the year will have to pitch.
Sure.
They have. They've pitched, they get to five innings, and then you see, I'm seeing a lot of, if you watch a lot of box scores, as I do, you're seeing a lot of when Willie Peralta's not pitching, it's the starting pitcher goes three innings, maybe into the fourth inning, and gets replaced by a reliever who pitches two innings, and then another guy comes in for an inning and a third, but it works. It's kind of like watching a high school game, like they win with defense and a whole bunch of different pitchers. They got bullpen guys that all throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Which helps. I was looking for my water.
Oh. Yeah. You didn't bring it in.
I didn't. Yeah. maybe one day. So that's the Brewers. This week they got the Cardinals and the Pirates.
Okay.
You're getting in the division, which go Brewers. We could be looking at first place in the division, or we could be looking at just barely above 500 by this point next week. I'm prepared to go either way. I am absolutely ready. But that's the Brewers. That's all of baseball.
Basketball we're done. Baseball. How about hockey?
I mean, it's the playoffs, but as I've said, I say this every single year, I can't name five hockey players.
I used to be able to.
Minnesota's got a team, and yeah, they're pretty good. And they have one of the best players in the leagues. I think his last name is Kaprizov. I think so,
sure.
Right? Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know, but I love watching. I watch playoff hockey because it's on, and it's fun to watch.
Was there a cool little stat about a certain player?
What do you got?
Jaromir Jagr.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, good job, guy.
Hey.
Anybody out there remember Jaromir Jagr? He played in the 90s. He's a Hall of Famer. He has one of the great hockey hair of all time. Great mullet. He's 52 years old.
Yep.
After he retired in 2018, he bought the team that he grew up in the Czech Republic playing for as a teenager.
Sure.
He bought them because that's what you do. And he went over there as the general manager and owner and also player. He's been playing regular shifts for the last 5 years. He passed Gordie Howe this year or this last week as the oldest player to take professional shifts in a hockey game. He's 52 years old. He scored and got an assist immediately upon entering.
That's 2 years older than me.
It is, yeah. He's not the pros anymore, like the NHL, but man, at 52 years old, he's just still doing
hustling.
That's such a cool thing to see, and you gotta root for that.
It just tells you how good he was, or is.
He is, still, You'd never forget, you're the hands, the brain, the
yeah.
Might be a little slower, maybe, but can't be that much slower.
Right.
So that was cool. That was all good call. That was all the hockey that we're going to talk about for another year. Badger transfers.
Oh,
random poor news.
Football, basketball.
In the transfer era of the NCAA, it's been mostly a net positive for the Badgers.
Right.
Up until this year, last year they got in AJ Storr and Max Klesmet, two guys who really played well for the Badgers all year. AJ Storr was second team all conference, and Max Klesmet's a great shooter, a clutch guy. AJ Storr was second team all conference, like I said. He entered the transfer portal. He's in Kansas. He went to Kansas.
Yeah.
One of the large, big hole on the wing. He's 6'6". He was going to be a junior. Was going to be arguably the best returning scorer in all of the Big Ten with Zach Edey leaving and turnover at a lot of other teams. He was going to be maybe the best player in the Big Ten. Now he's got a chance to be one of the best players in the Big 12, and he went to Kansas.
Makes sense.
I mean, apparently looking into it, AJ Storrs attended like six schools in the last 7 years between high school and college. This is his third. This will be his third NCAA team, and he's a junior. So
interesting.
It is interesting. You know, he's looking out for his future, and he's a make some money. You know, if there's somebody willing to pay you, I've left jobs. I haven't had
really?
Four. You know, I haven't had six jobs in 7 years. But you know, once in a while, if you can understand it, it happens.
Go where
you're happy. Right.
Right.
Connor Essigen, who was 2 years ago as a freshman, was a double-digit scorer coming off the bench, three-point shooter. Came into this year injured, but like I thought he would be something sure. useful. He never saw the floor. It seemed like when he was in, the box score was 3 or 4 minutes, 10 minutes here, and then he wouldn't play. So he was out of the rotation. John Blackwell played a lot for him. John Blackwell played really well. Connor Essigen is transferring to not sure where. He's from Iowa. But he's got 3 years of eligibility left, and he's a scorer. There's a line. Somebody will scoop him up, sure. and he's going to be good.
Why do you think they're all walking or transferring?
I mean, up until the last one I was going to mention, I assumed it was playing time or just that's how it rolls. Because in college, like, if you're not happy or if you're not playing, you get 4 years. Go where you're going to play. Go where you're going to have fun. Go where sure. you're going to enjoy college. And please do that. So that made sense for AJ Storrs and Connor Essigen, but Chucky Hepburn left. He is a 3-year starter since of his freshman year. Greg Gard recruited him. He's been the guy for 3 years.
Sure.
One of the best defenses, the captain, the leader of the ship for a team that was in the NCAA tournament every single look good. He transferred out. So I don't know where he's going. He has high school teammates also transferring to other places.
But is there an underlying reason, yes. you think? Do you think it's the coach?
And it's not even underlying at that point. It's clearly the coach and head recruiter, yeah. right? Like, the guy bringing in the talent is not developing the talent or keeping them happy.
Right.
In an era where it's player empowerment, and it's definitely for the better. In other sports, maybe it's not great in the NBA. Maybe it's not great but it's fantastic for college athletes
sure.
to be able to do what they want to do and be happy while they're doing it and successful while they're doing it. But Greg Gard is underwhelming. I mean, he made the NCAA, the NIT 2 years ago, and it was underwhelming. Was the number six team in the country this year, went on a slide, and lost in the first round of the tournament. Underwhelming. It's a Greg Gard problem at this point.
Who'd they lose to?
They lost to James Madison. Yeah, they lost to a number 12 seed James Madison team. It is a Greg Gard. Assistant coaches have left. They've had tons of former players be coaches that have left. So it's coaching. It is not on the university. The university's done a pretty good job on the football side of things, on the women's sports side of things. To really be great and competitive in hockey and in volleyball and in
it's a kind of a sports powerhouse.
Wrestling. I mean, yeah. It's a good camp. It's apparently just so it's a coach. That is please replace that coach.
Yeah.
it can't be worse, right? Like these players, there's a reason why a 3-year starter who's got two years of eligibility left doesn't just leave. It doesn't make sense unless there's something going on.
Right.
So next year's Badger team is going to look really, really, really different. You're going to be replacing. It's going to be Stephen Crowell.
Yep.
It's going to be John Blackwell and Max Klesman. That'll be it. I know three players for sure that are going to see playing time next year, so that'll be a fun one to talk about. That being said, they've got five spots open on their roster now. So they could accept a whole bunch of transfers, and this might look better in a week or 2 weeks or a month from now.
Or it may not.
Or it could be, yeah. Or we could just stop. Yeah, that could just be. I could
just
become
hoping to get in the NIT
tournament.
I could
be a Gopher fan or something. I'm not the room on that bandwagon. I'm sure there is.
Okay.
What else happened? One more thing before we talk about the draft.
Yeah.
Jonte Porter, a name nobody knows up until this week. NBA player, center for the Raptors, two-way player, fringe NBA player, was suspended for life from the NBA.
Why?
Gambling.
Really?
Gambling. Yeah. I mean, come on, guy. It's legal. Gambling is legal if you're state that it's legal.
Right. But the way that he got caught, he was just being dumb.
Incredibly silly.
Oh my gosh.
I will bore you with the details. Jontae Porter, told a bet maker that they should take the under on his performance for the next day. Because in sports gambling, you can now do daily bets with player stats. So he told the gambler that they should take the under in points, rebounds, and assists because he wasn't going to play a lot of minutes. And he only played like 5 or 6 minutes a game anyway. So an $80,000 bet was placed through a buddy of a buddy to take the under so he would score less points, get less rebounds, get less assists than the bookmakers, than the sports books thought he would. So he underperformed. He got the under. He was removed after 4 minutes for an illness in that game.
Mm.
So his buddy of a buddy turned $80,000 into $1.2 million. Yeah. That's some good betting, right? Like, if you were betting LeBron James to do a parlay. A parlay is you have to get all three bets correct or you win $0.
Right.
So the sports book was a little bit curious as to why more money was placed on Jontae Porter by one person in one day on one event than had ever been placed on Jontae Porter.
Right.
They didn't take long to realize who the bettor was and where he was connected. They went directly to the NBA. And within 3 weeks, that guy was the investigation was done, and Jontae Porter will never see the court again.
Yep.
It is wild to me. It feels hypocritical. We could talk a whole show about why gambling in sports, and it's advertised everywhere. But I mean, I can watch ESPN, and they'll tell me all about these great betting sites.
Well, yeah.
That I can't even use in Wisconsin. But if I go across the river in any direction, if I go across any amount of border, I can do that
right.
In all the states that surround us. Feels hypocritical of ESPN to come down on a player for gambling when they make money and promote it, but also players know it's one thing you cannot do.
I think the problem is, you know, they always, if you hear advertisers for gambling, it's always gambling problem, call.
Yeah.
But something like that, you know,
you're right.
Showing Ohtani's.
Yeah, you're right. There are certain people.
They've got an issue, I think, and it's an addiction.
There are certain people who cannot call 1-800-GAMBLING and admit they have a problem. It's a very tricky thing to say. You could say the only reason Jontae Porter got caught is because it's legal.
He got caught because
the DraftKings is a legal operation that works hand in hand with the leagues that they bet with to stop fraudulent stuff.
Sure.
And everybody, the league doesn't want fraudulent things because they want you to believe what you're seeing is real.
They want you to bet.
Like I said, it feels like a silly thing, but it isn't because I love sports and I need to know that it's not pro wrestling. I need to know that what I'm watching is not a scripted fake thing. And every time a Jontae Porter gets busted, it tells me, okay, they're paying attention to those issues. So, yeah.
I'm less hypocritical of the players. I'm more concerned about the refs.
Right.
They have the most, they make the biggest impact.
Well, back in the day, the Tim Donaghy scandal happened before sports gambling was legal.
And he went to jail.
It's a real assurance that everybody has said, you know, if this gambling was legal, what he was doing would have got found out immediately.
Right.
Because there would have been people working for DraftKings, knowing who the referees were, and making money on those referees.
Right.
So his behavior of throwing games and helping throw games wouldn't have happened. So yeah, gambling is a real bad vice, and it in sports, and I think sports and gambling have gone hand in hand forever.
Yes.
So it's not a new story, but it's a new person in a very similar story.
Very insignificant person, really, in the big scheme of things.
Like I said, he's a very replaceable player who has got, hopefully, you know, he's got a plan B. Hopefully, you know,
betting.
So that is
professional
the
bettor.
He's not very good at it. He's about as good at it as he was an NBA player.
Sure.
And now he's got time to work on his craft.
Okay.
The NFL draft is happening in 1 week. Next Friday when we get
together. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Next Friday when we get together, we're going to discuss the first round of the NFL draft. Is that correct?
Pretty much
exclusively.
Pretty much.
Next week's show has already been written. It just says watch draft on Thursday.
Yes.
Talk about it on Friday. There's so many fun things to talk about in a draft.
Right. And there's,
is there not?
There is this year, especially because there's, you know, potentially top five quarterbacks can go in the first round.
Sure.
You know, in a quarterback driven league or a sport, you got to have a quarterback. Oh, there it is, your water. Yeah. Good job. So, you know, the quarterback is an important position. Now, I think the soap opera-ish about it is that Minnesota needs one.
Yes.
They did some dealings with Houston and picked up an extra first-round pick.
Sure.
But then that's where it stops because nobody – no. The funny thing about it is I watch all these drafts, mock drafts, some of them real key, and they go off of who they know.
Correct.
They know, you know, they're connected, but they still have no idea.
Yeah.
You know? Even Daniel Jeremiah, which that's the one I really listen to above and beyond, like Mel Kiper.
Sure. Yeah.
Jeremiah, in the last, like, several drafts, had pretty much nailed – I mean, okay. For the most part, he was pretty close. He's off by one or two, but, you know, he's got it. But this year is so weird because the top three teams, well, Chicago's taking Caleb Williams. We know that.
Correct.
Washington's taking
a quarterback.
A quarterback. New England Patriots is the one.
Still should take a quarterback.
You think they should, but, man, if they don't, I think.
I mean, whenever.
If they trade out of it, I wouldn't be shocked. And it'd be Minnesota probably because they have the capital. But they need to retool so many different spots that
they do
one quarterback, you know, picking whether it's Drake May, Jane Daniels, whatever the case is, I don't think that's going to fix it right away.
No, but I believe that in a league where if you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing. And so many teams that are clamoring for quarterbacks and quarterback, you have a chance at number three to draft a quarterback. That's going to be the real deal. You don't know where you're going to draft next year. Look at Carolina, right? Like, Carolina made trades to get the to trade up to the number one pick, thinking like, oh, this is just going to be great. We got our quarterback. And it turned around and just smashed them. They are unsuccessful as all get out with
it. But that's not the quarterback. That's not Bryce Young's fault, I don't think.
I mean, maybe not. But if you don't take the swing on the quarterback.
Yeah. Well,
if you're so yeah, like I said, it's intriguing. You're right.
That's the great storyline because there's so many different things that so many different teams need.
Sure.
You know, you've got Arizona number four. They need a wide receiver. You know, so the obvious answer is going
to
be
Marvin Harrison Jr. You get the chance to get a Hall of Famer's son. Please draft Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm the most excited to watch him of any player in this draft.
He's probably
quarterback or otherwise. Yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's probably the best prospect in that whole class.
Oh, man, yeah.
You know, but then you get to number five with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They need everything but quarterback.
Right.
So they could trade to just about everybody.
Here's a narrative that was being thrown around because it's Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, Minnesota talking with the Chargers. Well, Minnesota didn't bring him on a couple of years ago. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They said no to him.
Hmm.
So there's a narrative that Harbaugh does not want to deal with the Vikings because of that. You know, there's so many different hot takes, and it's fascinating.
It
really is. Some of the latest mock drafts have now the Giants moving up to three.
Yeah, I like the mock drafts when they get past when they start to really get into trade stuff, and these trades make so much sense when you look at them.
Yep.
But
it was always rumors. Well, the Minnesota Vikings are saying now they don't want to give up the 23rd. They'd rather do
a couple of second rounds next year's
Know, whatever the case is. But it's always, well, sources say.
It is.
Nobody knows.
It's interesting what these sources and who they are. And the draft is really
it's
fascinating.
The paper
theater.
Boy that delivers, you're the message boy between departments.
This week of draft, it really, if you follow sports, this week, if you're watching any sports shows, this shows you how good the NFL has done of really building this theater, man. Like they have worked so hard over the last 20 years to make the draft be as much of an event as anything else in their season. Like, this isn't the Super Bowl, but it's definitely more important than the Pro Bowl. It gets talked about more than a Week 7 game.
I think for me, it's because your future, your team's future, really hinges on what they do. You know,
look at Green Bay. Green Bay over the last 2 years has had a great, successful draft over and over. They've had a couple laps of quality third and fourth rounders are now playing and starting. Seventh rounder is your starter at tackle.
Yep.
You're making the right choices, and it really, you see that paying off as a long Jordan Love is that long game. That's what the first
see
round.
San Francisco.
Correct.
That sets that by having Brock Purdy as a seventh rounder and not having, I mean, they're going to have to pay him next year, obviously, but up until now, they haven't had to worry about paying a franchise quarterback like a Dak Prescott. Yeah. Which there's another rumor.
Right. we could talk. Like I said, this could be our hour. We could just keep talking and run all the way through into the next 30 minutes
right.
and talking about the Cowboys have one of the best quarterbacks in the league that you'd think. Because Kirk Cousins was signed for 4 years and $160 million, just signed Dak Prescott, right? Like, I'm not. But overthinking that.
But I think the problem with the Cowboys. Wow,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we can wait next week and see what happens.
Oh, we will. We will, because by this time next week, we're going to be talking about 32 different teams have now you see the direction. After the draft, you really do see what your team is headed towards next year. You knew. Next year, going into the Packers season, that you didn't know a single skill position player, but they drafted a bunch of guys early, so you were going to get excited about rookies. And all year, you got to see rookies and second year guys really step up and be a big deal.
Right.
You got to see the Vikings. You got to see second and third round guys. You got to see a Jordan Addison become part of the team. You got to watch the Bears after the draft last year. You started to realize, oh, the Bears are going to be in a really good spot this next 5 years, and they are.
Right.
The Lions had two first-round picks last year. Both of them were fantastic, and the Lions look great. Yeah, this draft really does set the season. It really you're either rebuilding or you're a contender by the end of this draft. So next week. It's just draft things.
Yeah, we'll talk about your team, my team.
Oh yeah,
surprises.
Yeah, it's
because there's always that first round. There's always that. Oh my gosh,
the Packers
have
five selections in the first three rounds, which means that is fantastic. Yeah. You've got the 25th. You've got the Jets' second round pick, which is near the top of it. You've got their own second-round pick. You've got a third-round pick that they got when they traded Rasul Butler last year, Douglas.
Yep.
So they've got a chance to add a tackle, a safety, a running back. They've got a chance to add another tackle. They need offensive line. So my guess is we're going to be talking about a Packers. There's a guy out of Iowa, Cooper DeJean, that I really, really want them to draft. Yep. He's fantastic. He's an Iowa product. They need a safety. They need a corner. So, but you're looking at tackle. So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch. Like, why didn't they draft so-and-so? I can't believe they really drafted a running back. They really did that because last year they drafted two tight ends back-to-back.
Yeah.
Who does that? Well, the team that makes the playoffs does that. That's what happened. Well, how much time we got? We got
a minute and a half.
A minute and a half. Is there anything else?
Out there?
Out there? In your head about
sports? Not really.
I have one more thing ranked because I was listening to baseball on the radio.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, hey, because you heard in the background somebody yelling peanuts.
Yeah.
And the announcer started talking about their favorite baseball food.
Sure.
Do you? I went to a baseball game.
I've been to one baseball. No. Yeah.
I have been to one in the last couple of years, and I had all five of these things.
Yeah.
I did. I'm going to rank my favorite baseball foods because I'd see where your debate on this.
Sure.
Brat.
Yep.
With stadium sauce.
Okay.
Any food in a helmet. How do you feel about French fries in a helmet, ice cream in a helmet? Doesn't help.
Doesn't make a difference for you. I mean, no.
Does beer count as a food?
No.
No? Nachos?
I think that's just mandatory. That's
nachos is the man. Okay, there you go. That's what I thought too. Brat and nachos, for me. That I'm super looking forward to. Apparently, I'm going to a baseball game later this summer.
Nice.
And it got me a little bit excited about getting some. I'm going to a Brewers game. Haven't been to a Brewers game in a bunch of years.
Okay.
Super excited about that.
20 seconds.
20 seconds.
That's what I got.
That really is. We did great, man. We no mistakes on my end. No one swore.
Nice.
Volume felt good.
Yeah.
This is probably our best show, so I want to thank everybody for letting us do this, and have yourself the best weekend ever. Thank you.